Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, November 17th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and the new Ford Fiesta. With an EP estimated 40 highway miles per gallon, no other compact car is more fuel efficient, and fuel economy is just for starters. The 2011 Ford Fiesta. Ford invites you to drive one at a dealer near you. And by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Jason
Howell. I'm Ayaz
Akhtar. Oh, gee, I put Ayaz.
I'm sorry. I'm not looking at it. Say your name, Ayaz.
I'm still Ayaz Akhtar.
PCMag.com's Ayaz Akhtar. Congratulations.
Thank you. Starting Monday. You can go to PCMag.com and read what I write.
You'll be writing slideshows or something, right?
Yeah, effectively. It's basically that diggable link bait stuff, you know.
Nice.
So the good stuff.
They put me on the link bait.
Yes.
Tasty.
I'm happy to be there. So
go fishing for hits. Hey, are you excited about the Hulu update?
What is the Hulu update? The $7.99 price drop?
Yes, they did a ton of things. It came to the Roku today. They added split screen viewing to the iPad. And they dropped the price from $10 a month to $8 a month. Not the $5 a month everybody was hoping for, but
$8, Tom. $7.99.
And don't forget
that's
the $1 week free
in journalistic terms.
That's true.
We finally get a free preview. I mean, when you originally would sign up for Hulu Plus, you had to pay $9.99 out of the gate. But now they're going to refund you the $2 difference if you had signed up earlier. And you get a 1 week free if you've never tried it out before. So that's really cool. Plus, I think if you refer friends, they give you free time on Hulu Plus up to 20 weeks. It sounds like they're being run by Netflix.
They are totally trying to take pages from Netflix. They're trying to be on all these devices. They're trying to, you know, get that nice guy image. The split screen thing, in case you're wondering what that is, before on Hulu Plus app, if you were playing something, you couldn't browse around. You had to stop playing it if you wanted to browse around and look for something else. Now they've got it so you can keep it playing up in the corner there. And then you can still kind of look around and look at clips and do searches and all of that while your video is still playing up there. And then when you're done looking around, you just hit the full screen button and it goes back to full screen. So
that's a nice little change. So it's like $7.99. Yeah. You think that's going to get a lot of people going in for it now? Is that really that significant a price cut from $9.99 though?
It's funny. Given that the rumors were $4.99, it doesn't seem like as big of a deal. It's like it split the difference. But I think if you hadn't heard the $4.99, then you'd be like, oh, well, $8. Okay, that's not bad. And we've got some feedback on that from somebody. What psychologically it may do to your deciding purpose. Question is, will this thing, it's really on the Roku. I tried it out this morning. It's not just coming soon anymore. It's now $8 a month, so it's a little cheaper. Will this make you cut the cord?
Actually, I cut the cord a while ago.
Will it make one?
Okay, so yes, I think it might. I mean, the thing is, Roku as a box is kind of a geek product, but since Hulu Plus is on so many other things like Sony Blu-ray players and it's built into certain TVs, I think at this point, or it's going to be, it probably will make it a lot easier for people to leave as long as they're not looking for like CBS content. But it makes it seem so much crazier to spend, you know, $100 for television instead of just paying, you know, $8 for, you know, selected networks.
Of course, cable companies have been saying that even though their subscriptions are declining for the first time in a long time, it's because of the economy, not people switching to internet television. However, SNL Kagan came out with a study disputing that. They say that cable guys like Time Warner and Comcast are losing more customers than the satellite guys and the telcos. Telcos like Verizon are actually adding customers right now. So why are the cable companies losing customers while satellite and telcos are adding customers? And they also say that It is becoming increasingly difficult to dismiss the impact of over-the-top substitution on video subscriber performance. Over-the-top being people watching television over the internet. Particularly after seeing declines during the period of the year that tends to produce the largest subscriber gains due to seasonal shifts back to television. The new fall season's on, and the subscribership went down again.
Well, it seems like the telecoms usually have, at least in my area, they have better speeds than the cable companies. So, like, if you're looking at your options and the economy is impacting everybody, you might go, okay, what's cheaper? Usually the telecoms have better deals for faster speeds, again, in my area. So that would be a real quick way to go over there. And then you find out you can go online to find almost everything. I mean, you can find everything almost illegally, but you can find a lot of things legally. So, and at crazy fast speeds at a lower price. So, I mean, I think it's, the economy is causing people to go, okay, what other solutions do I have? And cable companies are pretty much notoriously known for lousy customer service across the board. So it's not that surprising that people would be leaving them anyway.
Jacob in the chat room has a really good point. Services like Hulu need to give live programming, not just sports. We hear a lot of people talk about sports, and there is some live sports coming to these services like Roku. He says live programming, more importantly, live with Regis and Kelly, because my mom won't cut cable because of that show. And there are lots of examples of that, where there's that one show that people want to see live.
Well, you can get an over-the-air antenna, but
you
maybe
could.
If
you
it
could,
works.
You could do over-the-air for Regis and Kelly. Yeah, there may be other
sports
cable stuff that you can't. But
yeah, but then you're going into that, you get a little bit over here, and then you also have to do a little bit of this over there, which if you're trying to convince your mom to do this, she's never going to buy into that. The fact that a box can get everything except that one show that she now has to remember to, you know,
well, that's,
move over to the antenna.
That's actually where a TiVo situation or a Media Center PC or even a Google TV comes in handy, because they take in the tuner
and put it
all in one interface.
Yeah.
I'd argue that even crazier, if you want to build macros for your Harmony remote, you can just put the channels you want right there.
Yeah.
Like, this is your Regis and Kelly button. Just push it.
Right.
And it'll go.
Put a picture of Regis right above the button.
This is your Regis
exactly.
button.
Make it happen, Harm.
Warner Brothers is scrambling to identify who leaked the first 36 minutes of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. It went to BitTorrent yesterday. Movie doesn't open until this Friday. And Warner Brothers says they will hunt down this person. Quote, this constitutes a serious breach of copyright violation. It's a breach of copyright violation? Does that mean it's not copyright violation? If it's a breach?
That's actually what it says. That's the quote.
Yeah, that's the quote.
This constitutes a serious breach of copyright violation.
Yeah. I don't think they breached copyright violation. I think they breached copyright. But anyway, breach of copyright and theft of Warner Brothers property. We are working actively to restrict and or remove copies that may be available. Also, we are vigorously investigating this matter and will prosecute those involved to the fullest extent of the law.
Maybe
a lot of people think that
that
Warner Brothers actually leaked this themselves.
Yeah, maybe that poorly worded statement is actually like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, it was us. It was a breach of copyright violation. I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. So maybe.
That was their way of getting out of it. Yeah, of not admitting.
36 minutes of a DVD screener getting out. It's also kind of unusual, because if you had the DVD screener, wouldn't you just upload the whole dang thing?
Should we
be talking about the movie that's coming out on Friday?
Is this a trend? Because this isn't the only movie in the past 48 hours that's leaked partially. Tron, right? Tron was leaked
25 minutes of Tron from earlier in the earlier part of the movie was leaked. Why would anyone who wants to torrent something only take part of the movie? If this is a DVD screener, why would you just take the first 36 minutes? And why the first 36 minutes? Why not just give the last 36 minutes? Did they get interrupted while they were stealing it?
Oh, well, something's better than nothing. All right, here you go, Internet.
Did it just stop rendering?
Minute 37, it says, this is property of XYZ employee. Maybe that's what the thing is. They could have blurred that out or anything. But
yeah. You know, some good theories in the chat room say because it's in edit, but this looks like it was stolen from a DVD screener. So if they stole it from the edit room, it would have come out a long time ago. This is a screener. This is the whole movie. And the whole movie's coming on Friday. So I think it's unlikely that it was stolen from edit, although that is a good theory that could explain it.
Or maybe they actually had multiple discs for the screener. Because at this point,
a sales reel for the theaters might only have a smaller portion of the movie on it. That could make sense.
Mm-hmm. Or they just gave it away and did it for this viral marketing, because we're talking about it and like they don't need the promotion, but I mean, it's a gigantic movie no matter what.
Some people are saying only the first 36 minutes was worth watching anyway. But yeah, there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there saying it looks like they think Warner Brothers put this out because there have been some effects in the past where you leak a portion of a movie online and then you end up having people decide, you know what, I'm going to see it now where I wouldn't have seen it before. A new Amazon movie studio just wants to bring movies right to you. Actually, that's not exactly true. New Amazon studio launched today. There's a video of it up if you want to get the full scoop. But it's essentially a year-long contest, and you win money monthly as well as money at the end of the year, and the overall winner has a chance of their movie being made by Warner Brothers Pictures. Here's the scoop on it. Best movie uploaded before the end of January 2011 will receive $100,000, and the two best scripts uploaded get $20,000. By the end of the year, the best script will get $100,000, and the best movie will get $1 million. And after December 31st, a panel of judges will evaluate the screenplays and test movies for commercial viability. Once selected, Warner Brothers Pictures gets first right access to the production. Anyone whose film or screenplay gets selected for theatrical release will then get $200,000 paid for the rights. So you've gotten $1 million. Presumably, you might have won one of the months, and you got $100,000, and then you get another $200,000 for the rights. And if your movie makes $60 million, you get a $400,000 bonus.
Only $60 million? You only have to make $60 million?
Yeah. To trigger the $400,000 bonus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like it's going to be hard to get to. But then again, I'm really more interested in the fact that Amazon, in some degree, is becoming a content producer. I mean, they have Amazon VOD, and let's say Warner Brothers declines making this movie. Is Amazon going to see it through? Are they going to have first rights to run this on demand? I mean, are they going to bypass things like Stars and HBO? Because they probably will have a deal with the content producers. Like, oh, by the way.
Well, they obviously have a deal with Warner Brothers because Warner Brothers gets right of first refusal. So, yeah, you would think Amazon said, and by the way, as part of that, once it's out of the theaters, it's coming right to Amazon VOD, right?
Or they could have something even crazier where they actually do an on-demand release at the same time and see how much money you can make on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's way too crazy to think.
That's wishful thinking.
It's because they have a studio, an actual existing movie studio on board. I mean, they're calling this Amazon Studios, but Amazon's really not doing the studio part. It's a big contest that they're running. But you're right. They've probably got all kinds of other rights in there.
The thing is, if you have an idea, if you saw the actual videos on Amazon, they're saying if you have an idea and you can't actually produce it yourself, you can do something like an animatic and show your story that way. So they're not actually asking you to raise $200,000 on your own and go shoot your own alien flick out there.
Right.
They're saying you can do a bunch of drawings and everything. And I thought that was kind of a neat thing. It kind of gives anybody out there with enough free time can probably put this together using a pen and paper if they really wanted to.
And the scripts thing, somebody can take one of your scripts and shoot it and put it up and possibly win. And I don't know how that works, but you get something as the script writer. So there's a kind of a crowdsourced collaborative part of it, too. You can even revise people's scripts and resubmit them, and then everybody gets something out of it. Two things here. One is, if you think you've got a good shot of your movie making it, don't do this, because you can probably get a better deal if your movie's actually really good. But if you're like most people and you just can't break in, it might be worth doing, but read carefully what can happen to your script, because there's a crowdsourcing element to this, and you are required to sell the rights at the end. Plus, you're exposing your content to everybody in a way that they could just take your idea.
Yeah. So the question is, is the exposure worth it to you?
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
This movie does. Yeah, it could be. I mean, like if you've never had a chance at this and you've been constantly, the door's been closing in your face, this is a good start for somebody. But like you're right, you can lose a lot of rights here. So that's go cautiously.
I'm just going to tell you guys, because I don't want this idea to get stolen, but I have a movie idea. It's about a girl who's trying to make it in a corporate world, and this guy ignores her for a long time, but then she meets him at a bar, and they hit it off, and they fall in love, but then it all falls apart, and she loses her job, and it looks like everything's gonna be bad, but at the end, there's this crazy coincidence, and they get thrown together again and realize their love for each other. What do you think?
I think it's brilliant. It's
groundbreaking.
It's going to be it's like no other rom-com I've ever heard.
What? No other what? Never mind. We need to thank our sponsor, Ford. Ford is not sponsoring this show, but Ford is, and we thank them That's why we make sure to pronounce their name correctly. Ford allowed Leo to come. Well, no, allowed. They encouraged. And Leo was very excited to go out to Dearborn to check out the Rogue plant. This is not a plant that roams the land. It's just called the Rogue plant, where Ford cars and trucks have been made for decades, since the early 1900s. They processed all the materials on site, and they've been turning their Dearborn plant into an environmentally friendly plant. Rooftops covered with succulents. They keep the facility cool during the summer, reduce energy costs. And Ford has a commitment to the environment, not only in its facilities, but in its cars, too. You've probably heard somebody here, whether it's Leo or myself, talk about the EcoBoost V6 engine. That is a 365-horsepower engine, standard on the Taurus show. Delivers a lot of power. Power of the V8 does it with direct fuel injection. That makes it more fuel efficient. There's also the 2011 Ford Fiesta, the most fuel efficient compact car on the road today. It's an EPA estimated 40 highway miles per gallon. Ford has been an innovator throughout the decades, from their assembly lines in the 1900s to the innovations they're continuing to bring to the market today. EcoBoost engine is in the Taurus show. The 2011 Fiesta is so fuel efficient, 40 miles per gallon on the highway. And of course, voice activated Ford Sync, the in-car communications and connectivity system, standard on most Ford or on many Ford Lincoln and Mercury vehicles, optional on many. We invite you to stop by a dealer and drive a new Taurus show or Ford Fiesta this week. See what innovations at Ford are all about. IE9, it's either an incredibly well-performing browser or a cheater. Which is it, Ayaz Akhtar?
Well, I'm thinking it performs really well. So if you guys don't know, IE9 is well, I guess it's being tested. And there's a lot of different releases coming out over and over again. They're getting benchmarked to see how well it does with JavaScript. Now, the latest test shows that it is incredibly fast. But the problem is people took a look at the code, and they're saying that Microsoft tweaked their code just to cheat the benchmark. Now, whether this is just a bug or not, it's unknown. But a lot of people are basically pointing the finger at Microsoft saying, you gamed the system. How dare you do that?
Yeah, it was an investigator was looking into why IE9 had such better performance than other browsers in the new platform preview that came out. Ars Technica has the numbers up here. I mean, it was over 10 times better than Firefox 3.6.12. And Firefox was the second, number two on this IE8 platform preview. What is this, platform preview 7?
Yeah, IE9.
I'm sorry. It was better than Chrome. Chrome was the number two. Incredibly better. Sayer investigated, what is this guy's name? Rob Sayer, and a Mozilla engineer investigated, modifying the code for the test using the SunSpider benchmark. He made two variations, one adding a true and another adding a return that should not have done anything, but actually changed IE9 to take 20 times longer with the two new tests while not affecting other browsers. So the Y Combinator started to turn aflame with people speculating, was IE9 cheating? Was there a problem with the SunSpider benchmark? And the persuasion at this point seems to be going in the favor that it looks like IE was gaming SunSpider, that there is a flaw. Like, it's kind of both are true. SunSpider has a flaw that if you're aware of, you can take advantage to tweak your results to look better. Although if you don't take advantage of it, it wouldn't affect the results. Otherwise, SunSpider is fine.
I'm surprised more people haven't gamed the system before, because if Microsoft did game this, well, good on them. I mean, there's some kind of super like, oh, there's a code amongst us coders and we have to make sure that we don't game the benchmark. I mean, Microsoft for years has been getting flack for an incredibly slow IE and the lack of I don't know, browser compatibility with standards. So if they actually went out there, figured out the benchmark, gamed it, I mean, everybody else could be doing the same thing, or they will now, or the benchmark will change. So I'm kind of impressed by this. If this is a gaming, if this is just a mistake, I kind of doubt it.
Ars Technica's Peter Bright says, even if they are gaming the system, Internet Explorer 9 in this platform preview works really well. I mean, it's surprisingly well in real life performance, not just benchmarks. It's pretty snappy.
I think sometimes people forget that benchmarks aren't necessarily infallible. I mean, real world tests are way more important, and it's basically your perception. Because if you look at that chart again, the difference between between Chrome and IE9 is not that big on the actual chart. So it might be like a couple milliseconds that you will probably never notice. But I'm very impressed with this.
CLT Steve passing along that Ed Bott says there might be problems with the results, but there should not be any insinuation of cheating or misbehavior. So the debate rages on whether this was on purpose, whether it was a mistake, what exactly happened. Fact of the matter is, SunSpider as a benchmark is going to be coming out of this suffering. It's going to be questionable after this for a while, I have a feeling. The FBI showed up in Silicon Valley on Tuesday, that's yesterday, to persuade Facebook, Google, and other technology companies to break encryption for them, please. Right now, the FBI gets ISPs to agree to implement wiretaps. This is under the Communications Assistant to Law Enforcement Act. The FBI would like to extend that to communication service providers that encrypt communication, like Skype, like Google, like Facebook. So if you're end-to-end encrypted, the FBI would like to be able to come in and say, we know that Jason has encrypted his connection with IaaS, but we know they're up to no good. Please let us tap that. We need you to build in a back door when you design these products. That's a bad idea. That's a really, really bad idea. I can't believe either one of you have not aren't like falling over
up
in shock.
Arms.
Yeah.
No, but see, I can see why the FBI would do this in the first place.
Oh, well, I totally understand why they want to do it.
The second they have to spend man hours going through the encryption instead of just going, hey, would you mind just letting us see this? I mean, the theory is Google's not going to allow this, and Facebook probably won't allow this. I mean, but if you ask, what's the worst thing that happens? They don't let you do it. So, I mean, it's basically
No. If they ask, the worst thing that happens is that they let you do it, and then suddenly there is an encryption backdoor built in that not just the FBI can use, but every hacker on the planet will be able to use. Because when you break encryption, you break it for everybody, including the smart people that can figure out how to get it. The idea in designing encryption is to keep people from getting in, unless they are authorized with an actual key, not providing a second way for somebody to secretly get in without the person who encrypted it knowing that they got in.
Are they going to get a special key? They're going to get a regular key? They're just going to get Google's kind of access?
They want them to design the product to have a backdoor that the FBI can go into anytime they want.
So they want their own special treatment. I mean, maybe they're not thinking of it that way. They're probably just thinking about dollars and cents. I mean, you got to think about this. There's a lack of, I don't know, funding for a lot of government projects. So, I mean, to not have...
We're getting some static. We're getting some static on your line, Ayaz. I think the government's trying to silence
you. Yeah, I think that's got
to
be them.
The government.
Yeah.
Is that worse? Better?
I don't know. It sounds like when the driver on those USB headphones goes bad. But I know you're not wearing those, so I can't tell why.
Whoa. Either that or you're turning into a Cylon right in front
of
us.
You are definitely Cyloning one way or another.
Something wrong.
It's definitely getting worse.
Okay. Ideas?
I would unplug something and plug it back in.
Apologies.
I don't know what your setup is, so I can't tell you anything. All right.
Apologize to your robot overlords.
It sounds exactly like the Plantronics headset when it starts to Cylon, and the solution to that is you unplug it and plug it back in. But now you sound fine. Yeah, you actually sound better.
Yeah, I switched to a different headset.
Well, now you sound good. A little tinny, but better. No echo.
Twitter
is going to sell 50% of all tweets for $360,000 a year through a company called Gnip. They announced this at the Defrag conference outside of Denver. Gnip will offer 50% of all messages posted to Twitter for $360,000 and 5% of all messages for $60,000. Now, this is not a consumer thing, obviously. I mean, you're not going to pay $360,000 for this. But if I'm a data mining company who wants to know how to market, who wants to look for trends, who wants to figure out what's hot on Twitter, this is definitely something I would pay $360,000 for, even at only 50% of the messages.
I love this. I mean, basically, it means that we're not going to be seeing a ton of ads on Twitter. We're not going to see a lot of promoted junk, you know, right in the middle of your feeds, because everybody else is paying to see what Twitter has. And the funny thing is, it's only 50% for 360. So obviously, you're going to want everything, because you don't know what you're going to get, the good half, the bad half. I mean, so $360,000, and obviously, this won't be an exclusive deal. So they'll be able to give it to a lot of different companies so they can do research. And Twitter's actually going to make some money. So this is actually a pretty good idea.
Now, Twitter currently delivers what they call a spritzer feed that delivers a random selection of 2% of all tweets. They'll continue to do that for free. But they have a larger so-called garden hose that will no longer be made available. So you'll have to go through Gnip. to get anything above the 2%. And there's lots of black market. I don't know if it's really a black market. It's more of a gray market of people who just harvest Twitters because they're there mm-hmm. on the web mm-hmm. and take that data and scrape it themselves and sell it. So this will be a competitor to that. But yeah, this is how Twitter makes money. This is why when you look at Twitter and you say, well, where are all the ads? Why aren't they pushing ads more often? And they've done little things here and there with the promoted tweets and all that. But they're being very smart about not overloading it with ads because they know they can make some big bank with this kind of data mining.
And they're really smart by giving away that 2%. It's like a drug dealer kind of thing. It's like, here's that 2%. See what you can do with it? If you paid us more, you can see a whole lot more information. So this is going to be good. That means Twitter's going to be around so we can write nonsense
yes.
for a long time.
Thank goodness. And try to spike the system with RT if you agree. Use that hashtag today. Mm-hmm. Google has launched something called Boutiques, a new way to shop for fashion. It's all women's clothing right now. They do intend to expand it. And you can't really tell it's Google if you didn't know. When you go there, there's hardly an identifying mark. It's not really different from YouTube in that respect, though, but this seems to have come from within Google rather than like YouTube being bought from the outside.
Yeah, if you go to the About Us section, that's when you first see Google's name. And it may be the beta is a tip off, but I mean, that's everybody does that.
Right. Anything with beta must be Google.
Currently, they have like all women's clothing. They claim that they're going to have, they're going to widen their selection soon. But like it has a social element too. So if you want to dress like a celebrity, you can start following them and start picking out all clothing from them. Like, so it's this kind of, it's an interesting, I guess, venture into shopping again for Google because they've tried with Frugal. They tried with Google Product Search. And I think now it's just called Google Shopping. And this thing is devoid of the Google branding. And maybe boutiques.com, maybe it'll be good.
I think this is a great idea on their part. The idea of them figuring out how to take things that they do and divorce them from the Google brand and try to spin them out as separate companies, a la YouTube, is very smart. We'll see if it works. But, you know, everything being in the Google universe is starting to really weigh on people. Like, gosh, do I want to go to Google's fashion shopping section? I don't know. They know so much about me already. Well, they may still know stuff about you since this is run by Google, but it doesn't feel like it. This looks like something where they said, hey, you guys go create a fashion-oriented shopping site based on what we do with our technology, but don't make it a Google property. And I think that's very smart to diversify in that way.
Yeah, that different look, because the Google look doesn't necessarily work for everything.
Exactly.
That stark white and blue you keep seeing on that silly multicolored logo, it doesn't feel as comfortable. You look at this boutique thing, it looks like this upscale kind of shopping site, and that's what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
So this is a good move, especially for their target audience.
I think that this does not look like it was actually created by Google, and that's a good thing. Want to thank our other sponsor, Carbonite, which is also a good thing. If you are worried about your data, and you should be backing up in multiple places. And when you back up online, I back up with Carbonite. Unexpected computer disaster could strike at any moment. Could be an earthquake. People say, well, I live in California. There's earthquakes out there. Yeah, well, it could be a tornado, you people in Tornado Alley. Could be a tsunami if you in Japan. Or it could be a cyclone or a hurricane. Or just a plain old thunderstorm and a lightning strike could zap all your data. So a little peace of mind to say, you know what? I'm going to have my data in multiple places. So if one of those places goes down or even two of those places go down, I'm safe. Having it in the cloud is a good idea. Carbonite.com does that for you. Protects all of your valuable files. End-to-end encryption. Easy to use. Once you set it up, you don't have to touch it. You tell it, back up all this stuff. Go. $55 a year. That's less than 15 cents a day. Well, it's just about 15 cents a day anyway. Try it for free. Go to carbonite.com. Enter the offer code TNT. If you decide to buy the service, we'll give you 2 free months free with the code TNT. So be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage if you want to get the 2 months free. You don't even need a credit card. Go sign up now. Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. Time for the news fuse. The Mark Zuckerberg of real life is much less obstinate than the one in The Social Network. On stage at the Web 2.0 conference, Zuck admitted he isn't sure Facebook is 100% right in preventing Google and others from automatically importing email addresses from Facebook. So he's not being all like, they're wrong. He says that the company is still weighing the possibilities and that it believes in openness.
So Mark Zuckerberg is not infallible. Good to know. Net neutrality arguments are over. Maybe. On Tuesday, Comcast executives proclaimed consensus on net neutrality is at hand. However, the UK's culture minister revived the argument that content companies should pay to be on the internet, inciting protests from all kinds of groups. Apparently, Minister Vise is under the impression that everyone gets a website for free without having to pay to access the internet in the first place.
If you thought the Nexus S Eric Schmidt showed off at Web 2.0 looked curved, your eyes don't need checking. You were right. It had a concave glass front, and Gadget reports Samsung's been shopping this curved display technology to carriers for a while. Sprint bought the line, but Samsung couldn't deliver the product in the right volume, so that's where the Nexus S might come into play, says Engadget.
You can use your Nexus S to play with Google Docs. They just added mobile editing to its text documents to go, alongside the ability to edit spreadsheets. Edits show up in near real time across platforms, and you can even edit embedded tables. Android allows you to insert text using voice recognition if you want. Google Docs will support Froyo and iOS 3.0 and newer devices with 3.0, with the functionality rolling out over the next few days.
Hey, I can do my NaNoWriMo book on my iPad now. That's great. A company called Gravity wants to use your Twitter account to make websites suit your tastes better. They've demoed an app called The Orbit that takes a user's Twitter account, computes a topic the person is interested in, or topics that people are interested in, and the network you are connected to. And eventually, they suggest a site like the New York Times, for instance, could order up front page stories based on Gravity's assessment of your social interests.
This is a test. May soon come as a text message. The emergency broadcast system is coming to your cell phone. Alcatel-Lucent is creating a broadcast message center that will allow government agencies to send cell phone users specific information in the event of a local, state, or national emergency. Geographically targeted text messages could warn of a tornado or major road closure, for example.
Here's a new use for your Facebook.com email address, debt collection. Melanie Beecham says that a collector from Mark One Financial contacted her relatives about her past due car note on Facebook. She is filing suit, alleging that the company is harassing her family. But frankly, I'd rather have them go to my family on Facebook than continue to call during dinner time.
So public humiliation over phone calls. Good to know.
Yeah, maybe.
Turns out Google and Amazon had a shot at getting the Beatles catalog, and Google doesn't even have a music service yet. EMI CEO Roger Faxon got the negotiations going in earnest over the summer. After rapid negotiations involving Apple Core CEO Jeff Jones, Faxon, and Steve Jobs, a deal was hatched, and the parties set about planning the announcement.
All right. CLT Steve pointed out that Wall Street Journal just broke a story that Verizon might charge by speed as well as amount of data when they roll out LTE. So a little bit like your DSL provider does, where you can buy, like, you can get the 1.5 megabits, or you can get the 720 or the 360. They might give you multiple tiers to pay for. So that's kind of interesting. And finally, Navi on your GPS device. That's right. I didn't tell you about this one, Ayaz, but what do you think of driving around and having your GPS tell you to Minftar, Minskin?
Do I get papyrus, like text subtitles or what?
I see you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you have to. I don't know if you have to dress in blue to use it, but a German company, actually it's Garmin SatNavs in Germany, is citing public demand for the feature. And they are putting Navi out for their
what
Garmin
public
devices.
Demand? Who are the people asking for this, and why? Why would you want to be more confused? I mean, isn't that why you have a GPS?
Sing, to tell you where to go. Exit roundabout.
Oh, cripes. So like it'll take you twice as long
safe. To get there. Why does everybody who's Navi talk so angrily? It's like they're speaking Klingon or something. All right, let's move on to the calendar. It's Jimmy Kimmel's National Unfriend Day. Have you unfriended someone today?
Not today. I will after the show, I think.
I think I'm going to do it right now.
Who are you going to do, Tom?
I don't know. Let's see. Jimmy Kimmel has said, you don't know all the people you have on your friend list, so you need to just go in there and unfriend someone. So I'm going into my Facebook right now. No, not Natalie. Not
who is this? T-
Tom Merritt guy. These are recent friends. I can't do it to a recent.
Yeah.
So I
gotta I'll be deleted in three.
I'm looking for I as actor. Yeah.
There's only like one of them. So just find that guy and get him out of there.
Yeah. Huh. Becky Worley. There we go. Remove from friends. See you, Becky. I've unfriended
you. Wow.
Sorry, harsh. Jimmy Kimmel told him to do it. So
now I feel horrible. But that was to celebrate, to just show you it can be done. You can unfriend anybody you want. Now I got to add her back.
There's a better suggestion in the chat room. This is National Unfriend Ayaz Day. I think that's way
better. I couldn't do that to Ayaz.
Everyone should do it. Go for it, folks.
Do you know how many Becky Worleys there are on Facebook?
9.
That's ridiculous. Wow. I'll never be able to find her again now. Uh-oh.
Look what you did.
Oh, yeah. That was rude, but Jimmy Kimmel made me do it. Boxy Box available at retail today, so if you go to Walmart or some such type of place, you'll be able to just walk in the store and buy a Boxy Box. Voodoo hits the PS3 on November 23rd. There's another UI overhaul coming in mid-December, so PS3 is starting to turn into one of those set-top boxes that might replace your cable.
Nice.
That's what Sony's been asking for from the very get-go with the PS3. They wanted this thing to be the one box you have in your living room, and this is cool.
And we are collecting the best moments of TNT. Actually, all of the Twitch shows, a lot of the Twitch shows are collecting their best moments for year-end specials. If there was a moment sometime since June 1st that you thought should be captured for that best of, it's very easy to tell us what it is. Find the episode, find the time code, and then go to twit.tv/best of and let us know in the form. We got a form there. You just fill out, give us the time code, the episode number, and you've helped us out quite a bit.
Yeah, we've already started receiving some. We've got a handful of them. Definitely not enough for a full episode. Save our intern from having to dig through each and every episode.
Send
us some ideas, please.
Maybe you need a picture of Alex just kind of like crying above the graphic. Please save.
Right, I will work on that. Think of the interns, please.
Or a baby seal or something. Just put it
right
up.
All right, let's go to our video voicemail. We have a description of how Hulu Plus beat out Netflix for one man.
Tom, Jason, yes. Becky, and Sarah. Hulu Plus. I signed up for Hulu Plus on the 1st of November. I'll admit, I was going for that $5 a month deal. Found out that wasn't going to happen. So I said, come December 1st, I'll drop it, because I really wasn't impressed. Then today in my mailbox, I see they have dropped the price to $7.99. Now, Netflix is costing me $8.99. That $1 under was enough to make me say, maybe I'll stick around and see what they have to offer in the next month. Hulu, you did it.
Look at that. So just that dollar under, they're undercutting Netflix. They will not be undersold.
That's $12 a year.
Do you think that's why they did it?
Maybe. Just to keep it under. Yeah,
they're like, we can't go to $4.99, but if we look cheaper than Netflix, that'll
help. Netflix is pretty cheap, $8.99. I will have to say this, though. By the way, Phil, epic mustache and beard, I got to say.
Nicely done. Impressive. A man always looks better with a mustache and beard. Don't you agree, IS?
No.
All right. Finish off with an email to TNT@twit.tv. Jake wrote in and said he's got a cunning plan to use one box. We talk about how if you cut the cord, you cut cable, you have to buy boxes for every room. He says, aha, no, my plan with the Boxy Box is to use an HDMI splitter to split off the signal from the box to all TVs. The remote is RF, so it'll work in every room.
How many TVs does this guy have?
I don't know.
He's got enough. A powered splitter is going to cost him like a couple bucks. Let's just say that's like $50. And he's going to need HDMI cable. So he's going to be ripping this stuff through the house. A 50-foot cable is about $30 on mono price. Okay, so if he's doing this, it's starting to add up. You can just
but it's still cheaper than $200 a pop per room.
Well, again, how many TVs does he have? That's the thing. We did this on This Old Nerd, and if he's doing it over Cat 6, I mean, it's gonna start costing a couple of bucks. And again, how many rooms does he have? And HDMI cable, you can't just make them yourself. So I don't think.
But it's still cheaper than $300 a room, don't you think?
Why? It's not just $200 a room.
Or $200 a room, sorry.
It may be.
If you talk about the Roku and you're talking about $79 or $99, actually $99 means you don't even have to run the cable. You just do Wi-Fi.
Take some old laptops you got sitting around, Xbox 360. You can do like half the stuff on all these machines. So just, this is not necessary.
All right.
I could save you more money is what I'm saying.
I don't know if you could, though, at $200. Maybe you could with the Roku. I'll buy that.
We need more information, Jay.
Ayaz Akhtar from PCMag.com, or soon to be, anyway, starting Monday. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me on. You can find me at PCMag.com or Ayaz.me, where I talk about all the projects I do, like This Old Nerd at ThisOldNerd.com. So, and occasionally I'll show up on this show, I think.
I hope so. I hope they'll still let you.
I don't know. I'm kind of in the big leagues now, Tom.
Yes, please don't forget the little people when you're
the little people at Twit. Yeah, right.
Twit.tv/TNT is our website. You can email us TNT@twit.tv. And don't forget, you can send us a video mail to that email address, or you can just give us a call and leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. We listen to all of them, even if we don't play them. Thanks for calling, everybody who has. We'll talk to you tomorrow.